Welcome back. It's a Monday morning. We are live. You're hanging out in the breaker. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
32 degrees right now, but we're going to be up diddling 50.
Ooh, that's a nice diddling.
Yep, it looks like the first day in a long time there won't be any rain, but the rain will be back along with some warmer temperatures later this week.
Okay.
So enjoy the non-rain. And
we're getting there.
Yeah, slowly, slowly. How your trip this weekend was good?
Yeah. Got to see the grandkids and all that stuff.
Awesome. We got to break down some stuff later this week that happened. Kimmy, you have not said a word about your weekend yet in the room.
Yeah, well, what do you there's think, a lot bro? Going on.
Wait, what do you think? Room. What?
It's a dreary weekend. What do you think she spent the weekend doing?
Not her hair.
That wasn't even bad. I was going to say,
hey, I
was going to have you doing the pot.
Wait.
I was going to have you doing the pot.
You're going to throw me under the bus? I thought we were all having fun.
You did it.
Making jokes.
You didn't set you up for that one.
Joking, guys. All right, let's start this. Let's start today with loss. How about that?
A loss?
Well, when you lose something that you love.
It's terrible.
And it hurts.
Yeah.
And like, you know, not having that person around is one thing, but the realization.
Oh, like somebody.
Well, I'm not even a person thing, whatever.
All right.
Not having that thing around at first hurts, but the realization that you'll never have it again.
Yeah.
That's the real pain.
Yeah, it hurts.
With that being said, last week we were having a discussion about local restaurants in some way. I forget. Oh, it was when we were the greatest, when we were named the greatest pizza town in America.
Mm.
And at some point, the beloved former pizza chain, Great Northern Pizza Kitchen, came.
Yeah.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar with Great Northern Pizza Kitchen, they were local. Two guys opened up the joint.
Yeah.
And their hook was the craziest pizzas you'd ever heard
of. The toppings.
Fried raviolis, right? Potato skin, bacon cheeseburger. Like, it was
lobster.
It was like nothing you had ever had before in your life. Yeah. And nothing that could be replicated ever again. And eventually, because I believe the price of the pizzas were so expensive.
Oh, yes, too much.
Great Northern Pizza Kitchen closed, never to be seen again. And we had been talking on the show about what I would give to have it one more time. During that conversation, a gentleman called us up, and he alerted us that one of the men who founded Great Northern Pizza Kitchen had opened up a new pizza restaurant.
Oh.
Yep.
It is called Salty Bread Pizza Cafe.
Salty Bread?
Salty Bread Pizza Cafe.
Pizza Cafe.
Pizza Cafe. They have two locations, one in Seabreeze, one on Dewey Avenue in Greece near the bowling alley. So as soon as I heard that, my mission on my cheat day yesterday was to get to Salty Bread Pizza Cafe.
Okay.
And I want to say up front, this is not an endorsement nor an ad. No one has paid me to say anything I'm about to say.
Okay.
So, Kimmy, check the menu when we had this conversation in the commercial break. My favorite pizza in the history of pizzas is the potato skin pizza from Great Northern Pizza.
All right.
I was so excited, and Kimmy can back me up on this.
You did. You looked at the menu, and you literally did almost like a little jump in the air.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they got it.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was actually audio of me saying that.
Oh
so
my
the
God.
Pizza skin.
Potato skin pizza.
So it's an
pizza
app.
Pizza skin potato.
So it's an app sitting on top of an entree.
It's
a fusion.
It's piece of potato, bacon.
Yeah.
There's two different kinds of cheese on it. I don't know what the second one is. But
do they
amazing.
Do sour cream on it, too?
I don't know. It's not on top, but it doesn't need it. The way that it's made is perfect. So we walk in the Salty Bread Pizza Cafe.
Oh, so you went. Okay.
We went. We go yesterday. Mm. Me, my two girls, and my wife. And all of the pizzas I love from the past are on this menu. And I order an 18-inch potato skin pizza.
Holy, that's a whopper.
You got a problem?
That's a huge pizza.
Yeah,
that
is.
For you?
Well, me and my me and my oldest, we're going to split it.
All right.
And by split it, so it comes out, it was better than I remember.
Oh, really? Wow. They topped their toppings.
It was
new and improved.
You know, as you get older.
Like, was it what you remember, or do you feel like they actually, like, tweaked it to make it a little better?
Now, I don't know if it's the missing it that made it taste better, because it could be the exact same pizza.
For it.
But it just.
And you're not the same guy as you were before when Great Northern was around.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're fat. You were morbidly obese.
Well,
you were full of pizza at that point.
Yeah.
You've drained your body of pizza.
Well, no,
I think it tastes better now because you've suffered so much.
I still eat pizza on a pretty regular basis.
Not like you used to.
Well,
so.
Yeah, well, okay. Let me put it this way.
You were full of mozzarella.
Yeah, I grew up in Gates, man. I was always full of mozzarella. There is a, you know, as you get older, it's hard to have unbridled joy.
Yeah, sure.
Because you've seen everything.
Yeah,
there are very few
you get
things.
Jaded.
Yes, and there are very few things that you're going to experience for the first time where you're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and how often do you go back to something that you had or did years ago and you're like, oh, you know what? It's not how I remember, or maybe I've grown out of this.
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. And
it's
like,
never better most of the time.
Yesterday was the first time that I can remember in a long time that I had pure, unbridled, unfiltered joy.
Which is tough to do, and I don't want to be insulting here, but if I take my wife to a pizza joint, she's going to ruin it.
Mm. Oh, not you?
No. I mean, if I'm eating pizza, if I'm going full fat boy, it's too salty, it's too greasy, I don't like it, it's cold over here, I'm not happy, I don't, this is too much, can I get it with this? It's never fun.
This was fun.
Okay, so you lucked out.
So,
because you went with three women.
Yeah, yes, I did. My youngest and my wife got a French bread barbecue chicken pizza.
Yeah,
I can't even wrap my head around
it. It was really good. It was
French bread.
It's
like a baguette.
You can get the pizzas regular pizza style, or you can get the French bread style.
So is it like a half a piece of bread?
Yeah. Yep. So, quick sidebar.
You never heard of French bread pizza?
Well, like stovetops.
Stouffer,
that's what I'm thinking of.
And that's the funniest part is, Mike, I didn't realize.
Yeah, I guess to your point, I've never had it in in a restaurant.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Really?
But my kids, you know, they were born in, my oldest was born in 2010. You know, French bread pizza was all the rage in the late 80s, early 90s.
All right.
They couldn't even wrap their head around the idea that French bread pizza existed. And I'm like, no, it's a Stouffer's French bread. Everybody had that, man. Like, shut up. So I ate like 10 pieces of this pizza.
Holy Christ.
My youngest had like a piece and a half. I then finished the pizza when we got home. I my eyes have been reopened.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm ready to, like, it was like I was born again.
Oh.
It was like I went to one of those churches with the bathtub baptismals and the priest or pastor dunked me under the water. I have a whole new outlook on life.
So you've accepted salty bread pizza as your
Lord and Savior.
Yeah, pizza savior,
absolutely.
Lord pizza savior.
Lord absolutely.
Pizza savior.
Yes.
Lord, hear our prayers.
And it's got me inspired.
To do what?
Well, here's the thing. This is a very unique situation, because I think everybody listening, whether it's a local or a national restaurant, has a dish that they would kill to try one more time.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is, for 99.9% of those things, you're never going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
I had accepted that potato skin pizza was no longer a thing I would get to try. And then all of a sudden, it's back.
Oh.
It's back again, and it's as good as I remember. So here is my million-dollar idea.
Oh, yeah.
We open up a restaurant, and we call it Remembers.
And what do I get to remember?
We serve the best dishes from closed Rochester restaurants that you can come back and try one more time.
Oh.
How do you replicate it, though?
Look, it's going to take some extensive research.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk to the people that own those restaurants. We may have to buy some of those recipes.
Oh.
But I'm telling you right now,
yeah,
based on the born-again experience I had, look, I feel like a monk in Tibet that I've given up all of my earthly wants and needs because I was able to have that pizza again.
So what would you get at Remembers?
So let's figure it out. 252 WCMF.
You almost have to take a poll or like take suggestions, and you see like what the most popular dishes are that no longer exist.
Like, let's think of the most prominent Rochester restaurants that for whatever reason disappeared. Is there a dish that immediately jumps out at you that you're like, I wish I could have that again?
Oh.
Trying to think like Rochester centric.
Well, even ones that we had, it doesn't have to be
like those old school joints that closed.
Well, I mean, could be that. Like, I mean, I'm sure there were popular. I mean, I was too young for this, but like we talk about the Crescent Beach.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure there was a signature dish or two that folks would kill.
Yeah, that old school stuff.
Maybe we got that at Remembers. Come on into Remembers.
Lobster Thermidor.
Oh, there you go. We're already one thing.
I forget what that is, but it's a creamy. It's like creamy lobster.
No, it's a lobster with a British butler sitting on top of it. Thermidor!
But that was like old school, like transatlantic crossing food you would have like on a Titanic.
Well, yeah, you were catching the lobsters along the way. All right, I'll throw one in there already. And it's not a Rochester food, but Rochester loved this place. The chicken wings from Ponderosa.
I don't think I ever had chicken
wings
from Ponderosa.
The
breaded chicken wings from Ponderosa. You can get them at Remembers.
Okay.
Come on down to Remembers. We're gonna serve you.
So it's almost like a chicken wing, but kind of like
it's dry, no sauce, but it had breading on the outside.
So it's almost like fried chicken.
Yeah,
it was like fried chicken.
Yeah, but it was in wing form.
Okay,
and look, you can't replicate that again unless you come to Remembers, in which case we have found a way to replicate it, and you could buy it.
It would be such a mismatch, though, of meals and sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You almost have to make it like buffet or cafeteria style.
I'm fine with that. Right. I'm fine. By the way, are you opposed? Your husband would love a mishmash style of any kind of food he could eat at the same time.
No,
I would
just
love
that. It would just, the menu, I think, if you only did stuff you remember, would lack some things. Unless you just decide to throw random stuff
in
there.
Well, look, we fill in the blanks, right? Does not just have to be nostalgic stuff.
All right.
But I'm telling you, man, if we were to make a list of the most wanted pieces of food you can no longer get, we would crush at Remembers. And I'm telling you, man, it's all based on this experience of this pizza place.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff you had, most likely, you had as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, was that stuff really that good, or are you just looking at it through a kid's eyes?
I don't know.
Yeah, because we're already at Ponderosa. Yeah.
What's wrong with Ponderosa?
Like, we've already kind of like watered down the concept because it was like Rochester food. No, he added Ponderosa.
Well, but here's the problem. You don't eat. You're a bitch. So you
don't
can't
eat
give
either.
Me some. I was eating potato skin pizza yesterday.
Sunday.
Yeah, cheat day. I get one day a week. You get one day a year. Well, I'm going to have my two white hots, and then I'm going to have a couple of hot dogs. 252 WCMF. My eyes were open again yesterday. We discovered on the air last week that the one of the gentlemen who founded Great Northern Pizza Kitchen, the Great Rochester Pizza Place that closed all those years ago with the crazy pizzas, opened up new pizza spot. It's called Salty Bread Pizza Cafe. And again, this is not an advertisement.
Yeah.
Nobody's asked me to say this. We went out yesterday because my favorite food of all time was their potato skin pizza. And wouldn't you know, they have the potato skin pizza at this Salty Bread Pizza Cafe. And I had it, and it was better than I remembered. And you can't hurt me.
Yeah.
For the rest of the week. Like, there was nothing that could happen to me this week, as I knock on wood, that could hurt me because of the taste bud experience.
All right.
You know what else they had?
Yeah, but.
Cronuts.
What?
Kimmy, you want to explain to Tommy what a cronut is?
A cronut?
A croissant crossed with a donut?
You nailed it. Nailed it.
So it's like a sweet croissant.
But it's in a square form with a hole in the middle.
What's in the hole?
It's like a donut.
Oh, it's a
hole. Whatever you want to put it there,
but you
I
said
guess.
It's a croissant.
It's a croissant
so it's
slash
looks like
with
a croissant
donut.
With a hole in the middle.
Yeah, it's
right.
Square.
Right.
So it's the standard one is cinnamon sugar.
Right.
And by the way, it's huge. It's like the size of a brick.
Okay.
But they had yesterday a specialty cronut, cannoli cronut.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You ready? You know what else they had? You know what else they had? Cookie-olis. Two cookies with cannoli filling in the middle.
Jesus Christ.
Man, I think I'm eating every cheat meal at this place again.
How could you not?
Bro, I'm going to eat through the whole damn menu. Everything looks so damn good. It's like I'm 13 again, man. I'm going to take my shirt off, run through the sprinkler.
Yeah, that wasn't a good year for you.
What are you talking about?
13 was a good year.
I didn't know it wasn't good at the time.
Yeah.
Only with the gift of hindsight do I know that my year of 13 was terrible.
Yeah.
I can't believe you two are such bitches. You can't give me a single.
Well, I'm trying to think of something I can't get
you know
anymore.
What there's, but I don't know if you can still get this or not. But I know, like, I remember Uncle Ralph's.
Oh, Uncle
done.
Ralph.
Like, Remembers. So, done.
But
no,
I can't
Uncle
really
Ralph,
think
number
as,
one.
As, at the time, like, because I was a younger person.
Yeah. A child, as they call
it? Well, I can't think of, like, one specific thing from there, though. But I know that there are probably things people miss from that menu.
Okay, so the potatoes he did were unbelievable. The mashed potatoes.
Yes.
Right, because he mixed in the skins.
He mixed in, like, pounds of butter and cheese and sour cream.
And the way that he would cook his steaks with his magic sauce on it.
But it was all open, like, on a big barbecue pit that he traveled with.
There you go. All right, done. We got chicken wings from Ponderosa.
Mm-hmm.
We got some menu items from Uncle Ralph's. Our menu's rolling. Come on down to
Remember. Fantastic.
Come on down. Shut up. Shut up.
There was also one thing I loved as a kid, and this is it's such a weird, like, side thing. And I don't even know if these places are open anymore, but the little loaves of cornbread from Boston Market. I know it's so
random. That's a very random selection.
But I remember as a kid, like, I would just, like, I would hoard those things.
But just the cornbread?
Just the cornbread.
Not the chicken?
The chicken was meh. But I just remember the cornbread was something I loved as a kid.
Now, look, I want to back you up on this. But when
I don't know if it was good, but I liked it when I was, like, 10.
Can I tell you a sad Duffy story?
Go ahead.
You got a lot of them.
Okay, so.
I can't believe that we haven't heard. I think we heard them all.
I'm 10. My brother is 8. My brother Ryan, who comes. And I think it was like Christmas time. We were shopping at the mall out there in Greece. And my dad and my mom were going to go to Boston Market because it's like the only thing open at like 8 o'clock on Ridge Road in Greece, right? So we walk in. We had never been to a Boston Market before. My dad orders all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. My brother Ryan, at 8 years old, he's starving. He just walks outside, immediately vomits all over the ground. No. And I think it's because he just ate too fast.
Yeah, sure.
My brother Ryan used to have this weird thing where he would go to a restaurant, eat too fast, get nervous, and then throw up all the food. It was the weirdest thing. It was like this involuntary.
You think he wouldn't have porked up?
He got over it, I guess. No, but it would happen on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, that would ruin it.
It was the funniest thing. Like, my poor aunt and uncle, they used to watch us a ton when my mom and dad would be off doing whatever they were doing. And, like, my Uncle Andy, God bless him, he'd be like, all right, we're going to go out to get food. Are you going to throw up? No. You sure? All right. He would do this thing. He would sit in his chair. My brother would go,
Oh, no.
It was a
sign. An alarm going on?
Yeah, there it is. Now we got to go in the bed. He puked me out. My brother yacked Boston Market all over the parking lot on Ridge Road, so I could never eat Boston Market ever.
Yeah, that would ruin it all for me. Yeah. I'd be off chicken.
Fair enough.
So now there will be no Boston Market cornbread at Remembers, thanks to Ryan Duffy. And we'll put up a picture of his face in the window if you're looking for the cornbread from Boston Market.
This is why
we can't have
it.
There are plenty of people who decide, man, this is not worth it.
Okay.
The time I would have to put in is not worth the money I'm getting back. And New York State realizes this.
Mm.
So they are looking to up the game. And here's the thing, man. You would be making more money going to the store and returning these.
Everybody wants more money.
It would also cost you more money to get them in the first place.
So how does it work?
Well, but what do you mean? It's simple.
I'm not making no more money.
It's not to make you money.
What's it to do?
To hold you hostage.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, New York State. Wants to increase your can and bottle deposit.
Fantastic.
So as we all know, a bottle is worth 5 cents returned, and it's been that way in New York since 1982.
Wow.
Yep. However, folks pushing for this bill to make the deposit now 10 cents.
10 cents.
Say that in 1982, when they made it a nickel was worth a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Today, nickel ain't worth nothing. And increasing it to 10 cents, Tommy, would encourage more people to return their bottles, therefore cutting down trash all over the place. Fun fact, the reason they did this in the first place was because trash was everywhere.
Yeah.
And they say this had a legitimate effect on people not throwing cans and bottles out the window while they were driving.
Mm.
So on top of the extra 5 cents you would get now if this bill were to pass, the bill would also expand which bottles will take a deposit to sports drinks, iced tea, wine, and liquor bottles.
So every glass bottle is going to have a 10-cent whack?
I don't know if it's every glass bottle, but it would be soda bottles, sugary bottles, booze. Alcohol, and all booze.
So it's wine, all that stuff.
Yes, and before you call up and yell, New York's doing something no one else did, we would not be the first state to do this. Both Michigan and Oregon have 10-cent deposits. Mm-hmm. Good idea?
I mean, you really got to knock yourself out for another dime.
I knew 10 cents wouldn't be enough.
I'm not schlepping bottles back. They leak all over the place. I just open the bin. Let them take it. Let them make the money.
They're not taking the bottle. They're just throwing it in the back of the.
No, I give it to waste management. They probably get some money.
That's
back.
Called throwing them away.
I think you're just tossing them.
No, but doesn't waste management probably get the deposit?
About recycling?
No,
I don't think so.
No,
I don't know.
I think it just goes in the trash.
Here's my brilliant plan. It doesn't work. I don't know.
I figure they got the money.
You think like they're picking the cans out?
when they recycle, don't they separate that stuff?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I don't know.
That's why they. Well,
I got to put it in the separate bin. What are they doing?
I don't know if those are recyclable.
Recyclable.
So recyclable. I don't know.
See, this is why I don't want to do this.
I thought, you're supposed to.
I just want it out of my house. I don't want to bag it up. But I see them schleps on Saturday morning with the two carts with all the goddamn things in there. I go, how is that a fun way to spend your Saturday? And then you got to feed that little machine.
The machine feeding's fun.
Yeah,
for like the first minute, if you're 12.
It's like playing like the world's least profitable slot machine. Kimmy, would 10 cents make you more likely to bring your bottles back?
So we usually donate them to like a fundraiser. Because like there's always like those bottle drop-offs.
I give back to the community.
Because it takes a while for them to stack up. So we just keep them all in a bag.
But
and then when it gets full.
But
no, you literally just drop it off.
No, but
you don't
you
even
got,
have
like,
to go return them.
It's you just get this to, like, big bag of crap in your house.
It's like in our basement.
I can't do that.
Okay.
I don't want leaking bottles in my basement. You're going to get ants and rats down there.
252 WCMF. First of all, you don't have a basement. Your wife has a basement.
And she don't want it either.
You'll rinse them out.
There are two kinds of people in this world. Two kinds of people.
Who you got?
Folks like you who do not care about the 5 cents, right? Will not care. And folks who will crawl over barbed wire to make sure that every bottle that they have in their house will get returned. And it turns out those two people always marry each other.
And by the way, it's always I've seen rich people pull this move.
Yeah, returning bottles of cans. That's how you stay rich.
No, but like after like, you know, they have parties and they're like collecting the bottles and stuff. It's so sad. You're rich, man.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
That's how they stay rich.
That's how they got rich on nickels and dimes.
Yeah, every nickel and dime counts.
They're better in my pocket than theirs.
So like growing up, like I thought you had to do this. Like I thought it was a standard because whenever
government issue.
Whenever we'd go shopping, even if my dad had like three bottles to return, he would go to the counter at Wegmans and return the bottles.
But he's also got bank.
Yeah, but he did it all the time. I just thought, like, oh, everybody does this. Right. This must be the stop that they make every time they go grocery shopping.
Look, I mean, the fact of the matter is this. I know you say it wouldn't change the way you act. It would. Because you're not just getting 10 cents back. You're also being charged 10 cents every time you buy a bottle. For example, if you buy a 20 rack of Blue Light or something, that's an extra dollar.
A whole dollar.
I mean, it is, though. You start adding up all of this stuff. Think of all the booze that you drink. You add a nickel to every can or bottle. I feel like even you, in your shacket and ribbed turtleneck, would be standing in line at Wegmans feeding that machine to get your dime back.
I never have.
But, okay, it would be.
That's weird. You seem like a guy that would. Just because.
How's that mean?
Well, no, because you're so particular about, like, your garbage and the way things are organized. Like, I would think bottles you'd separate and return to the proper place.
I mean, I'm kind of with her. It is weird. This is the one time you decided not to be anal retentive.
I've never returned a bottle in my life.
In your life?
In my life. I have never returned a bottle.
Even when you were broke on the road.
That's why I was broke. Well, he knows, man.
I
was broke,
surprised.
But I was still buying cigars and drinking.
Bro, we knew comics that kept bags in the back of the car to hold their bottles to return.
And they would also like dig through stuff at the club. And try to steal bottles. Yeah, there were some broke-ass bastards.
There's a guy that worked here, 252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about how New York State has a bill that is circulating that would raise the bottle deposit to 10 cents. It would be the first time they raised it since 1982. Not only would it give you the extra nickel for returning the bottle, it would also expand it to sports drinks, iced tea, wine, and liquor bottles. So now everything you buy at the liquor store would have a 10-cent deposit on it as well. There is a guy we worked with who...
I didn't know who.
Who? All right, it's Phil. Phil Sherman. Phil Bill. If you listen to the show for a long time, Phil's the best.
Yeah.
All right. He, as happens in radio, was let go. And it was a crappy situation.
Yeah.
And they let him go when he had already left.
Yeah.
He lived in Ontario.
Yep.
He drove back to get the bottles that he had been keeping in the studio.
Yes, so he could go return them. Don't be a Phil.
No,
did he at least like wait until nobody was around?
No, actually, the guy who they didn't fire helped him bring his bottles to the car.
Oh. I probably would have left those behind.
That's about as sad as it gets, man.
I think it was the principal. He wasn't going to let anyone else have his
bottles.
I guess
I get that, too.
Like the CEO of the company was going to come and get his bottle money.
Yeah.
No, but look, I'm not a huge bottle guy.
Yeah.
If it went up to 10 cents, I would feel obligated to have to go do it.
All right.
Now it's real money, man. It's real money.
It's not real money. Like, you just explained it. 20 bottles gives you, what, a dollar?
A dollar. Well, right now, 20 bottles gives you a dollar. Oh, I'm sorry. If you got a 20 rack of blue, I did the math wrong because we can't do math. That would be $2 on top of your 20 rack. That's, right? Like, I mean, if I got 10 bottles, that's a buck. A dollar is something.
No, it's not.
Yes,
a dollar is squat, man. Can't get you crap.
Dollar is squat, can't get you crap. What are you, writing 70s funk songs now? Dollar is squat, can't get you crap.
Man, hold you down.
Okay, so Kimmy, you brought up the fact that you and your husband will drop them off at like
bottle fundraiser. Yeah, like if you see one of those, dump off points,
Okay, you got to wonder, if they were to do this, if the bottle deposit goes up to 10 cents, would that help? The groups that collect bottles?
Well, they have to.
Hurt because more people are going to do it.
Bingo.
Oh, they won't drop them off anymore?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I mean, look.
I was going to help cancer, but now I'll just keep it to myself.
Nobody collects bottles for cancer.
It's more like school fundraisers and stuff.
The fundraisers.
No, baseball teams and like libraries and all that stuff.
Well, first of all, I'm not worried about some stupid-ass baseball team. I thought you were doing it for, like, medical kids.
No, it's just, like, you'll see, like, the bin out there, and they'll be like, oh, we're collecting. I don't even really care what they're collecting it for. I just dump it in there.
I hope
communism. Here you go.
Usually it's, like, at, like, the library on the corner from us or something.
I hope that the Golisano Children's Hospital doesn't have a bin to collect bottles.
I don't know how they collect. I feel they'll take all your money.
All right, so, Tommy, there are some states over the last few years that have toyed with the idea of a 25-cent per can deposit.
Holy Christ.
Would that get you to return your bottles and cans?
25 cents.
Keep in mind, you are spending the 25 cents up front in exchange for bringing that bottle back eventually. So, let's see. A 20 rack of beer for carry. That would be like $5, right?
$5.
An extra $5.
Ooh, that's $5.
I mean,
buddy.
Bro, now you know. You
now
know
you're $5.
$5. That's half a cup of your fancy coffee.
I probably, if I was single,
you're
I wouldn't care.
Idiot. You're such an idiot.
Well, don't forget, man, I was living off of my second mortgage.
Yeah, that's why you should have returned your bottles.
I was using a home equity line of credit to go out and party on Friday and Saturday night. So I would say single me, I wouldn't. Married me would be forced to because my wife would want that money. If it's $5, she's going to want it, which would like chap my ass because I'd be the one that had to like load those goddamn bags into the car. And do that loser schlep to that machine.
You're not a loser returning bottles and cans.
You ain't looking cool going into Wegmans Saturday morning in your Crocs to return your goddamn bottles. You ain't Mr. Cool,
man. Do you
feel
like
man.
You have to go to like a different Wegmans to return your bottles?
Yeah.
You can't be seen at the Pittsford Wegmans because nobody uses those bottle machines.
No, you know what, though? They do because of the rich people.
Yes. Yes.
You'll see these Lamborghinis pull up. With the clam doors open and the woman's taking the bottles out, it's pathetic.
No, I mean, you live in a community of cheap, rich people.
Yes,
and you're going to sit here and talk, you don't want to look cool. Bugatti loaded up full of bottles. The bottle Gotti, they call it. I mean, it's just dumb. It's free money.
I know
money.
It is.
It's free money.
But I'm lazy. I'm also really lazy, man. I'm sorry. I'm lazy and I'm selfish.
It might be one of the worst nightmares as a
what
parent.
What happened?
You think a flu outbreak in your house is bad? You're worried about the chicken pox?
This sounds creepy.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Yeah. Like, when the flu and the chicken pox come home, they don't set up shop and stay for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this situation so complicated, because you can't be sure your kid's school knows everything that is going on. Because if your kid brings these home, your family not only has a bunch of money they have to spend and a bunch of time that'll have to be invested, you're now also wearing this scarlet letter.
So you can't fix this?
It's hard.
I thought they could.
You're hanging out in the break room. That's just classic rock, 96.5 WCMF. Story on 10 NBC.
What did I say?
Says there have been reports of cases of bed bugs at Roth Junior High in the Rush Henrietta School District.
So they just shut the school down and fumigate?
No.
Nope.
So
they try their best to contain, it sounds like.
So to Kimmy's point, school says only certain classrooms have been affected. Letters were sent out to the teachers and parents who were in those classrooms.
I'm already getting skeeved.
Kimmy, does that mean that those letters didn't get sent out to everyone in the school?
Maybe everybody got a notification, but they got the people that were affected got a different type of notification.
Would that bother you if you didn't get a letter, even though, like, let's say your kid wasn't in those classrooms, but it was in the school?
Because, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more aware. Yeah, like, I want to know that it's a potential.
How did they not tell everybody? Because everybody's been exposed
to
it.
They may have, although they may not have been exposed to it if it's only these certain classrooms.
But to your point, how do you know?
I don't
They're
know.
They're bugs that you can barely see.
Here, listen.
Yeah, because, like, I kind of thought those things took over, like, entire buildings.
They shut down hotels and, like, cruise ships.
All right, now, listen. We are not bed bugs experts, right?
No.
And I would assume that the school, I mean, schools have dealt with this before.
Yeah.
Right. They know what they're doing, right? But it doesn't look like the school has closed for the issue unless there's an update this morning. I mean, maybe they moved the kids out of those rooms while they dealt with the situation.
But then you got them in your house.
Right.
If your kid went to school and they're in the house, now you got to go get an exterminator to go check that out?
I would assume so. That's how
you
got
to burn your sheets?
252 WCMF. All right, let me ask you this question. Right. Tommy, Kimmy, you folks listening, 252 WCMF. You find your kid. Their school has bed bugs in certain parts of the school, but not where your kid has been or is going to be.
Mm.
Do you send your kid to school?
No,
that day?
Because I don't want that in my house, especially if I don't have it yet.
Okay.
But now I'm freaking out that they're already there and I can't see them.
Okay. So you're not sending your kid to school?
No.
How long do you keep them home?
Homeschool them.
You're going to go into homeschooling?
I got a whole thing of encyclopedias. Crack them open and learn something.
It's April, man.
April, man, what?
No,
I'm already itching, man. I don't even, Like, that story just skeeves me. Like, you know how I feel about infestation? I hate it.
I don't think there's anyone on the planet like, you know what I could go for? A good infestation.
You're kind of half pro because you don't take it seriously.
Oh, my God.
You don't. You don't take infestation seriously.
No, like, here's what you're not.
I know how you grew up and you saw some things that you probably can't
understand. We never had bugs or mice or rats. We never did.
You don't think that house.
I'm telling you, man.
But your mother's cooking was that bad. They chipped in a gutter a cookbook.
All of a sudden, there's like a slow cooker like moving into the.
The rats are sending the cheese back.
Hear me out. All right, look, I agree with you that a bed bug situation at your house would be an effing nightmare.
Yeah.
That being said, it is April, and these are middle school students, right? This is when you start to like wrap everything up, buckle down, get ready for final exams, regents if your kid's taking them, stuff like that.
Right.
Any day your kid misses of school right now hurts more now than it would have a couple of months ago.
Okay,
Kimmy, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it is crunch time.
All right, so you send Junior to school for the tests. He comes back, and now he brings this into the house. Now what do we
but
do?
But there's no guarantee that he brings it into the house. Yeah. The school has said they have it contained.
I mean, I would hope that a school wouldn't take the risk of telling you you could send your kid back if you know, there was the potential to get them.
I mean, Kimmy, would you be sending your kid or would you keep him home?
I mean, if they said it was okay, I'd probably let my kid make the decision.
Let your kid make the decision? A kid wants to stay home. What kind of stupid thing is that?
Because the thing is, if I keep my kid home, how long do you keep him home for? I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know when it's going to be okay to send him back. So if I'm going to take the risk, what's the difference between taking the risk tomorrow or 2 days from now?
I'm also pissed off at that family that brought it into the school.
Okay,
well, that's the thing. Like, you can't call out this specific kid.
You'll never know.
Okay, yeah,
I mean, you kind of know.
No, so let's talk about that.
You know that kind.
252 to be CMF, 252-9263. We'll get to that in a second. We got folks waiting on hold again. We're talking about how Roth Junior High out in Rush Henrietta, they said they have a bed bug situation in some of the classrooms. They sent out letters to folks who are in those classrooms. It doesn't look like the school is going to close unless there's been some update this morning that we haven't seen. But we're talking about, do you send your kid?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the school's fault,
I know.
Let's talk to Rammer. Hey, Rammer, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning. So my question is, this is a middle school. These kids don't stay in one classroom all day. So if they leave the classroom that has the bed bugs and go to a different one, or they go to the library or the outside recess or whatever, it's all over the school. You can't tell me it's just in a few classrooms.
Well, again, like, I am not a bed bug expert. I don't know how long someone has to be in a spot for the bed bugs to then spread.
Bro.
They're like fleas.
Yeah.
If you got one flea on your dog and you got more pets in your house, everybody's got fleas.
Okay. I understand. That's... But if I take my dog to a dog park and he hangs out with a dog with fleas for 2 minutes, is he going to have fleas?
Yes. Actually, that happened to my dog when my son had his buddy come over with his dog that had fleas. The next thing you know, they were playing, and now I got fleas.
And all the kids were humping the pillows. It was really out of control.
It was a nightmare.
No, I hear you. Like, Tommy, there was this one time Tommy was just in a locker room at a gym with a man with gonorrhea. He brought it home. That's what he told his wife. It's terrible. It's terrible what happened, Rammer.
Well, you know, Tommy's known for all those kinds of silly things. But anyhow, you got to close the whole school. I would not send my kid to the school, and I had three. I mean, anything like that, I just don't want to take the risk.
All right. Rammer's out.
Though.
He's out, Rammer. Thanks for the call. Would you agree I would like to point out, would you agree with Rammer? Seriously, think about this before you say it out loud.
I think he makes sense. They can't tell, like, oh, the bed bugs just hung out in room 222.
So
which is a great TV show.
I had a friend who, her apartment building had bed bugs. So she had to throw away, like, all of her furniture. Like,
oh, my God.
Yes, like, get rid of, like, fumigate all of her stuff. Like, they were gone, great. It happened again. And it was like the whole apartment complex.
That would suck.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about
Pat. Hey, come on. Hey,
not
don't
what
worry
I'm
about
saying.
School says it's fine.
Again.
Going to sucker high.
You are. Wait. Your mom opened a high school? And it's been
your mom was valedictorian.
Yeah. What was she? Is valedictorian like valedictorian?
Well, she couldn't get it on. She had a mouthful.
As we talk about this bed bug situation at this middle school in Rush Henrietta, You had said something before we took Rammer's call.
What I said?
You had brought up, like, the kid who brought it in. You said, you'll never know, but...
You kind of know that family.
Okay,
man.
You don't. You don't. Okay, for some reason...
You know that mom.
Really? What about that mom?
You know, she got that really loud minivan. She chain smoking.
Where does she work?
Oh, she works by the airport, but not in the airport.
Why is that so funny? So folks who get bed bugs are looked at for some reason as trashy, gross, and dirty.
Yes.
And here's the thing. That's not the case because you can get bed bugs from anywhere. For example, high-end travelers get bed bugs at a higher clip than normal-ass people. Airplane seats, upholstery in hotels, Airbnbs.
They're all over.
And just because, by the way, you stay at a nice place doesn't mean those places don't have bed bugs waiting to latch onto your stuff and come home with you. Mm. Man, this ain't about dirty. This ain't about unclean. This is just about where you go.
Absolutely.
No,
I get more
than true. It's true. I feel terrible for that kid who brought him into the school first because you know people are talking.
Yep.
You know people are talking.
Oh, sure.
Everybody knows.
And middle school.
Everybody knew the kid that had lice first. Everybody knew. Like, even if it's not 100% proven, people know.
And here's the thing, Kimmy. Even, like, the same thing applies to lice. You don't get lice because you're dirty.
Yeah. No, he's right.
No, that's true.
Like clean hair.
That's true.
It's true what? No, you look like you want to say something.
No, but, like, my busted-ass sister, her kids always had lice.
Okay. But it's because they got them from other kids.
I know, but she's also busted.
What does that have to do with it?
She also was a chain smoker, had that job by the airport, managed two different dart leagues.
Where'd she get her clothes, though?
Oh, they were all birthday presents.
Bro, there are high-end schools. There are schools in high-end socioeconomic places that have lice and bed bugs. There are schools in low socioeconomic places that have lice and bed bugs. And there, show me a study where poorer places have worse issues with bed bugs and lice.
I don't know.
I mean, look, if you show me the study, I'll go fine. But I haven't seen it.
I do have a question, though, because, okay, Rammer did bring up a good point. Like, I thought in middle school you do go from classroom to classroom if you're not in the same classroom all day. So if it was, like, one kid that brought it in, they've probably been to multiple places.
Oh, sure.
Also, how do you – because you'd have to bank – even if you get rid of anything and everything in the school, you'd have to bank on that kid where they came from also taking care of the problem. Back at the house.
Yeah. Ground zero.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I don't. All right, let's flip it up a little bit because it's easy for you to tell your kid to stay home from school.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's say same situation as at Roth Junior High out in Rush Henrietta, but it's at our job. Yeah. There are some studios that have bed bugs.
Mm. Yeah.
Ours is not one of them. Work goes, listen, we understand. You can stay home if you want until it's all taken care of, but we're going to have to dock you a day of pay for every day.
What? Why am I getting docked?
Well, no, you can come in. It's not in your studio.
Wait. I got to lose money?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Because these kids are losing knowledge, getting ready for finals and
knowledge. You can go home and get your knowledge.
Would you stay home?
No, I got
to
eat.
Oh, what happened? Oh, look at Filthy Tommy full of bed bugs. Human bed bug.
Yeah, thanks. Whoever brought it in. You know who brought it in.
I love how you're like willing to sacrifice your child's brain, but the $7 a day you make in cans.
And I know who brought it in.
Who brought it in?
Or who do you think?
I'm asking. Tell me who brought it in.
You know who it is.
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Who drives a minivan?
Who?
A couple of y'all.
I don't drive a minivan. I drive a Honda Pilot.
Well, it's kind of a minivan. It's a minivan.
No, wait. It's not a minivan.
You out. Oh.
I brought home. Why? What about
no, my? I'm not
no,
even
no, no,
no.
You said, you said no. I drive a minivan.
I wasn't thinking of you. Because our room doesn't have it, remember?
Mm-hmm. In my made-up scenario?
Yes. It's other people.
Kimmy.
West Side people.
For God's sake.
With your West Side bugs.
You're the one that travels more than anybody. You were just in Chicago over the weekend at a hotel full of bed bugs, I hear. Kimmy, would you stay home from work or would you come in with the threat of bed bugs?
I mean, I guess like if we all decide to come in, I got to come in. I would probably come in like a full-on like beekeeper outfit.
What do you do?
So you dress up.
You gonna throw it away every day? Because you'd have to.
Yeah. No. Or, yeah. Yeah, probably.
Think how expensive. It's not even coming to work. Worth coming to work. The money you'd have to spend on outfits.
Yeah, clothes. You have to wash. Yeah. You can't even wash them.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What a nightmare.
That would be terrible.
Oh, if your kid goes to this school, God bless.
It sucks.
Yes, obviously it sucks. That's why we're talking about it. Fun day at Roth Middle School. They get ice cream. Take a break.